Father. Father God, we do thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name, Father. Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But Father, we thank you that most of all that we'll take the word that springs forth life on the inside of us. And we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival of this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's here tonight, that anointing that's present here, that anointing that changes us into answer, that anointing that sets us free, that anointing that heals us. We thank you, Father, that that anointing is here and it is in operation. We thank you, Father, for mom and dad as they're there on the crusade there in Arkansas. We thank you for many lives being touched. We thank you for healings. We thank you, Father, for people being set free. And Father God, we thank you for everything you have done and you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. I know it's been a while since I've been here. I guess back in July last time that I preached here in Oklahoma City. Since then, I went to Disney for 2 weeks down in Orlando. And, you know, they call it a vacation. I'm not sure how much of a vacation it really is, especially this one. I brought about 10 members of my family, you know, and so we were all kind of stuffed into a two-bedroom condo. I mean, you know, it was nice, but we had people all over the living room. It was a big condo. It was like 1,300 square feet. The thing is, that originally there was three of us going, and then four, and then, you know, everyone started saying, well, you know, how many does that thing sleep? And so, and well, it sleeps 10, so 10 people showed up. So it was, you know, it's like, well, if you're buying the room, you know, we only have to pay for this and that and everything else. So it was, we had a good time, you know, but not only that is it, you know, you do a lot of walking at Disney. And so I have on my iWatch, it tells me, I walked over 8 miles every day. Now, that's probably good for me to walk 8 miles, but it's a bit much. You know, if I wanted to walk 8 miles, I'd walk 8 miles. But, you know, it's you know, wasn't really planning it, but I, every day it was over 8 miles. Not only that, it was hot. I mean, like hot and humid. I mean, the humidity factor was like, you know, it was only like 95 degrees actually, but with the humidity, the heat index was like 102 most of the night. So, and, you know, when you're a big guy, it's hot and humid, and you're walking a lot, I mean, you know, you're sweating. In fact, one night, long story, but actually it was on a Wednesday where actually, you know, no, it was Sunday. It was a Sunday where, you know, me being a minister, I'm in someplace on a Sunday morning, so I said, well, yeah, I'll go preach for you. So I went and preached for one of my friends, and the rest of the family, they went and saw Mickey Mouse. In fact, that literally, they saw Mickey Mouse. They had a breakfast with the character breakfast. And so I said, well, none of my family's going to come because they've already planned out this character breakfast thing. Well, it was so hot. By the time, you know, I went out to eat, and by the time I come back to the park, they all left. Because I said, it's just too hot. We can't. But the great thing about it was like cooling off because it was getting, you know, later. So I walked around Disney World by myself and rode rides myself because, you know, I'm okay about that. But then, and then so for whatever reason, my wife was saying, hey, we all took a picture in front of the castle, so stop someone and take it, you know, have them take your picture, because we bought this package, you know, the photographer takes pictures, and we already paid for one price. And so I'm like, well, I don't want to take one by myself. I mean, you know, but you know, when your wife tells you to do something, you do it. So I took this picture, and so, you know, I don't know how I look, but, you know, then so, you know, an hour or so later pops up on, now they do it online. So I looked online, and, you know, I've been sweating quite a bit. I looked on, it looked like the state of Texas was like right here. I mean, somehow I sweated the state of Texas. So I guess, you know, I was born in Texas, so I guess I sweat Texas. I figured that out. But, You know, we had a good time. My grandkids had a wonderful time. We had a good time, okay. But the grandkids, they really enjoyed it. We endured. You know, I didn't have to wait an hour for too many rides, but a couple of them had to wait an hour. I didn't have to wait any time. I could have just not rode, but, you know. And what's really kind of interesting about amusement parks, you know, you wait an hour to ride a ride that takes about, you know, less than a minute. Then you wait another hour to ride another ride that takes less than a minute. I mean, this is kind of foolish, you know. And then, you know, they, you know, it's so hot and they sell you all this, you know, if you want to get cool, you drink stuff. Now, for what I think there's a conspiracy because the water out of the water fountains at Disney World, it just tasted really bad, which makes you want to, you know, I was doing the good thing, drinking a lot of water, but, you know, it's like $4 for a bottle of water. So I had a lot of bad water from the water fountains at Disney, too. So, you know, after a while, I'm like, this water's not too bad anymore. I'm kind of used to it. You know. Anyway, so that was the Disney part. And then I went to Trinidad and Tobago. Some of you might be, if you were on Facebook, you saw a lot of my pictures. We ministered 5 or 6 times over the course of a week. Had a wonderful time. I never have been to Trinidad. Knew people from Trinidad, but never been. And if you know where Trinidad, actually, if you don't know about geography, it's right by Venezuela. All right. And actually, I'm going to sit down. I've been having some back issues. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. But I don't know if you ever had where your sciatic nerve is being pinched. And it like shoots, like this side goes numb sometimes. And so I'm standing there going back and forth with my feet, so it's easier to sit down. Plus, you're sitting down anyway, so, you know, why should you, you know, what I should do sometimes is sit down and let you guys all stand up the whole time. But for some reason or another, it bothers me more when I stand in one place. If I walk, I don't bother me as much, but if I stand, it bothers me. So anyway, I'm sitting down. But so we're at Trinidad, and I don't know if some of you saw, Trinidad is basically, well, one part of Trinidad is like 10 miles from Venezuela, the island, but, you know, where we were, about 88 miles from Venezuela. And there was an earthquake there, 7.3 on the Richter scale. Some of you might have seen that. And so it actually hit like an hour before I landed. So when I got there, everyone was all shook up, literally. I mean, you know, they're not used to having earthquakes there. I mean, they hadn't had an earthquake in a long time. And it was 7.3 where the epicenter was. By the time it hit Trinidad, it was 6.8. That's still a pretty big earthquake. So the next morning, you know, well, which is pretty normal to have aftershocks. So next morning, we had a 5.8. I'm sitting there eating my breakfast like, you know, everybody else. I'm like, oh, an earthquake, you know, because we're from Oklahoma. We're kind of used to, you know, the 7.3 would have been quite a bit. But a 5.8, we've had those before. We, you know, you and I, we're kind of used to it here, you know. So, you know, sitting there, my chair started rumbling a little bit, you know, and I'm like, oh, an earthquake. I looked around the restaurant, and, I mean, these people are freaking out. Like, our waitress, I mean, she still couldn't calm down. Like, the whole time she was there, she was, you know, all freaking out. I'm like, you know, we're kind of used to earthquakes in Oklahoma. You know, people don't realize that. Now, what I really wonder is that Trinidad actually, you know, they don't make a lot of money from tourism for whatever reason. Well, this is the reason. They have offshore drilling. And so they make a lot of money in oil. So I'm wondering if they're using some of the techniques that we've been using here in Oklahoma that produce earthquakes. So anyway, so we had a 7.3, what I missed, and then a 5.8. But I was shocked that was the only aftershock we had was that one. It didn't do a lot of damage in the main city of Port of Spain where we were, but some of the churches that we went to, they talk about different things like this fell off the wall, that fell off the wall, there was a crack in one of those, you know, so it did some damages, you know, you have to understand some of these countries, they don't build quite as good as we do. Now, I was staying there at a Hyatt Regency, almost a brand new one, so I'm sure that they're probably thinking more for hurricanes than they were for earthquakes or whatever, but it was a wonderful, wonderful time. I just, you know, just the pastors there were real incredible, and the people was there incredible. In fact, it was interesting. I preached, like I said, a number of different churches, and it was called the Unity Conference, and so it was like one night this church, one night that church, and all these pastors came to all the meetings, and so it was really cool seeing all the pastors coming together. And they normally they don't do that, but they're the guy who brought me in, he wants to try to unify, you know, Trinidad and Tobago. It's two different islands, they're one country, and so we had a wonderful time. Got to enjoy some of their interesting food. You know, they're the West Indies, so they have a lot of curry and stuff, You know, I just didn't really appreciate some of their food, but, you know, I tried it because, you know, I try everything. And so, but I tell you, the one thing I did, like, finally, I got there on Tuesday. I didn't have a day off until Saturday. Finally, they gave me a day off. I was so thrilled I actually had a day off. And so we went to the beach. I didn't actually get in the water. I just sat under an umbrella and, like, about fell asleep or whatever. But they have a local dish. It's called Bake and Shark. All right, it's some kind of pita bread type stuff, which is considered bacon. Then I guess it's like gray shark, and you know, and it was fried. And they put all some of their spices. I put some of their different things, but I didn't put all of it. The people say, well, this is really, because you do, it's self serve. Like, this is really hot. I'm like, okay, I'll have a little bit, not too much. I tell you what, that was really good stuff. And so my wife goes, you can't eat shark meat. I said, well, I ate it and it was really good, man. I wouldn't mind some more. It was really good, but. Trinidad's an awesome country, you know, and really on fire for God. So it was very, very good. We had some great meetings, and you know, it's always fun to go to a place that, you know, no matter how big it is, but to see people on fire for God. I mean, some of the places weren't as big as you like to have a bigger crowd, but man, you know, we're like packed in like cracker boxes. The only thing is, bad part about Trinidad, we don't have. The air conditioner, I mean, well, most places were air conditioned, but it was an afterthought. You know, they used to have air conditioning, but now they do because they have this, you know, these units or whatever. So it wasn't as cool as I liked it to be, and you get a little hot. So, but it was a good time, and you know, it's always awesome to get to minister to people all over the world. And you know, the Bible talks about, you know, when Jesus told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And a lot of people, you know, I take it literally, actually. I mean, I literally take it that God's called me to the world. I feel a calling to go around the world. And I just love people. I love people, you know, all over the place. And, you know, it was good in Trinidad because most people, I actually thought they spoke Spanish. A lot of the islands do. But English is their primary language. So, man, it's a whole lot easier to preach in English than it is another language, you know, so... And so that was really kind of made it easy because I was already ready for my interpreter and all that kind of stuff, and I didn't have to go through that. So that's good. Because you understand, when you have an interpreter, it takes twice as long to do anything. And then, you know, it's really hard. You know, I do more teaching than I do preaching, but it's really hard when you get real preaching, you want to get all fired up, and you have to wait for your guy to interpret, you know, the stuff going on. So it is interesting when you have an interpreter, whenever you go to a place and, you know how many people actually know English because, you know, those people start laughing at jokes before, you know, they get translated or they respond before. So it's kind of interesting. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Peter 2, 24. And I was meditating on this actually last week, and me and my wife had a big discussion about some of these things. 1 Peter 2, 24, reading from the New King James, says this. Who himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, this scripture tells us two things. That because of Jesus dying on the cross, we were made righteous, and we were healed. Now, interesting part about it is we have to understand, it says we were made. It's already happened. Because there's so many people that are waiting for God to show up and do something today when God, through his son Jesus Christ, did something 2,000 years ago. But the thing is that we today have to act like the Bible's true. Now, my grandfather always said he was a stickler for the word of God. And what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that we have been made healed. It says that we are righteous through Christ Jesus. And so a lot of times we have to change our mentality. And, you know, I'm dealing with this back thing. And, you know, sometimes, you know, your mind says, well, I can't wait to get healed. But the Bible says you were already healed. Amen. Now, when you have already have something, you act differently than if you're going, then hopefully going to get something. You know, it's like I guarantee you that if you have a bill due, especially something that might be significant, amount of money. If you already have enough money in the bank to pay for that, you feel a whole lot different than you do if you're like $1,000 short of paying for that bill. You know, now, you know, either way, both times you can be trusting God, But if you have the money, it's a whole lot easier. All right. If the money's in your bank account, you act differently. I mean, you know, if you had something, you might say, "Well, man, I hated that I have to pay this, but I'm so glad that I have it." All right. But it's a whole lot better feeling than like, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I have this bill and I have not enough money to pay for it." Now, here's the thing is us Christians a lot of times need to know that we have something and we should act like we have something. We should act like we need to, you know, sometimes people will tell you, "Hey, you know, smile, you know, inform your face that you're actually really happy." You know, because a lot of times we don't act like who we really are. And it's because, see, it's all about Christ Jesus. And in fact, Jesus told his disciples, you know, the whole time, but before he died, he says, "You know what, guys, I know it's going to be tough," but, you know, they didn't know what he was talking about, but he says, "You know, in a few days, I'm not no longer going to be here, but it's actually going to be better for you." And the reason it's going to be better for them, as they didn't understand at the time, is because what he did cemented, you know, who we are in Christ Jesus. But the thing about it is, many of us, you know, we don't act like what we have. But, you know, now here's the other side about it. Just because we were made righteous or just because, you know, we were healed, we have to ask for what we have. I mean, it belongs to us. We just have to ask for it. Now, not only were we made righteous, not only were we healed, you know, a lot of other things, you know, took place. And I got a lot of scriptures here that we're going to look at. And you can probably quote a lot of these, but sometimes when we quote scriptures, we don't know where they're at. Right. You know, and sometimes we need to understand that it really is in your Bible. All right, so we're going to look at them, okay? 1 Corinthians 15:57, and most of you probably know this scripture. Maybe you didn't know where it was. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, people that, you know, when we talk about victory, that means, you know, we're a winner, right? I mean, people that are victorious are winners. Now, it says that we're winners through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we win. Now, you know, it doesn't say because of Jesus, sometimes you win. It doesn't say, you know, hopefully you're going to win. It says we're victorious. We you know, that we have been given the victory. It says right here, it says, "Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, people that are champions, they act differently. Now, I tell you, I mean, you know, certain teams. I mean, we'll pick a team that's been won a lot of championships here recently. The New England Patriots. The football season just started. Those guys, when they come out, they act like champions. Other teams are afraid of playing them because I mean, you know, they don't. I'm like, "Ooh, I mean, that's going to be a tough one." You know, why? Because these guys act like champions. And not only they act like, they've proven it before on the field too. You know, and actually see that Super Bowl, you know, where Tom Brady brought them back, I mean, from a huge deficit. You know, see, they never lost that championship mentality on the inside. Now, the thing about it is people who win, they think differently. Now, the Bible already says that you're a winner, not a loser. Another scripture says we're the head, not the tail. But I will tell you, if you talk to a lot of Christians when they're facing adversity, you know, whether it be sickness or whether it be a financial situation or whether it be a, you know, mental situation, you know, or whatever, you know, when we're going through stuff, we don't act like we're winning. Now, a few years ago, you remember that Charlie Sheen kind of went a little crazy, and he, you know, said he's winning. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you tell people you're winning, when it looks like you're losing, people are going to think you're crazy too. But it doesn't matter what people say. All right, what does God say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, "I am a winner, not a loser." Now, if you're a winner, you have to act like a winner, even when you feel like you're losing. Why do you have to do that? Because, see, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what's in our bank account. See, but we know that our God, through his son Jesus, has already caused us to triumph. Oh, actually, that's my next scripture. I'm sorry. That's my next scripture. I didn't want to hit that. Well, let's look at that already. 2 Corinthians, if you don't know where to find that. 2 Corinthians, 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this: "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ." See, remember, that's triumph in Christ. "And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." So we see, through Christ we always triumph. In Christ we triumph. Without him we don't. But see, if we have been born again, then, you know, then we have Christ in us. And, you know, and he always causes us to triumph in every situation. There's no situation that you're not going to triumph from. The only way we don't win is we quit playing. All right? I mean, you know, and I don't know how many of you like board games. My grandfather actually liked it. There was a few board games, and his favorite board game was Aggravation. Anyone played Aggravation? Now, I don't know where it came from, but they called it Doogies. I don't know why they called it that. I'm sure that's probably a name you can look up on Google, but that's what he called it. But it was the game Aggravation that you can buy, I think, by Parker Brothers, I believe. And that was one of his favorite games. Now, whenever you go over his house, a lot of times he would like to play the game. Now, they would play partners. Usually, if I went over there, my grandfather was always my partner. Now, the funny part about it is that you roll, and my grandfather moves my stuff. He never, and if I try to move it, then he'll go, no, that one that you need to do. So, anyway. But anyway, here's the thing. When my grandfather played Aggravation, I mean, I've seen him get mad, throw the board. And, I mean, that's why it's called Aggravation. You know, but here's the deal. If you go over there, you have to keep playing until he wins. You know, because he's not a loser. He knows he's a winner. And so, now, usually he would win quite a bit, you know, but I mean, if he goes on a losing streak, he's going to keep playing until he wins. It's the same way that later on, for whatever reason, I don't know, he was at someone's house, some pastor had a pinball machine, and he played it, and he liked it, so we bought him a pinball machine. So we played pinball. Now, he had to win playing pinball, too. You know, if your score was higher than his, we keep playing until he gets the high score. So, just because, you know, that's all my family's mentality, they have to win. You know, but he's going to play until he wins. All right, and so, but really, when it comes to what people call the game of life or life in general, as a Christian, you know, we only lose if we quit playing, if we give up. Because the Bible already tells us that we're victorious in Christ Jesus. It tells us that he always causes us to triumph. So when it looks like we're losing, you know, don't look what it looks like. Now, you translate that to you know, obviously at a football game or what other kind of sport, you know, we have a scoreboard. We can tell who's winning or losing. Now, in life, you know, it's more like you feel like you're losing because, you know, you have bills and you have a bank account and you have this and you have that or you know, maybe you have health issues or this or that. You know, and sometimes you're feeling, man, you're just being beaten up. But see, you have to have the mentality like Greg was talking about, to understand that we're not losers, that we're winners. Amen. Amen. And I keep wanting to just cut from my next scripture, so I'll just get to the next scripture, so that way I don't have to, because I'm fixing to say it. Romans chapter 8, Romans the 8th chapter, in verse 37. And like I said, one of the reasons that I'm having you turn there is because a lot of times, we know what the Bible says, we just don't know where it says it. And it's even worse now with a lot of people using electronic Bibles like I do. Well, you know, in your real Bible, if your real Bible's like mine, I mean, I highlighted quite a few scriptures or whatever, and there'd be times that I know the scripture's in maybe Corinthians. I don't know if it's in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, but I know it's on the page. I know it's on the bottom, you know, right corner of the page. And I would, you know, I don't know how many times I've been in the middle of preaching, I'm flipping. I'm looking for that bottom corner, trying to find that script. But see, you know, when you have an electronic Bible, you got to know where it's at. You know where it's at, or you just have to say, the Bible says. But, you know, I know that my grandfather and myself like to give, you know, scriptures so that way you know that the Bible does say it. Because, you know, I'm like this, my grandfather like this. You know, there's a lot of preachers that are not preaching Bible, they're preaching what they think. All right? You know, and hopefully that they think in line with the Word, but sometimes people have, you know, their own thinking. But I like to preach what the Word says. All right, and that's why I like to point out the scriptures. You know, there are some times that we'll quote scriptures, but you know, it's always good to look them up. All right? Anyway, Romans 8:37 says this, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Interesting part about it is, it doesn't just say we conquer, it says we more than conquer. Now see, you know, the way I think about it is, I mean, if you have a football game, you know, and you win 17-7, I mean, you won, all right? But if you win, like OU's been winning here recently, and you win, you know, it's 49-7 or 53-7 or 53-0, that's more than conquering. All right? Now, I mean, you know, I'm a big OSU fan, by the way, and they've been more than conquering, but the teams they play in are, they should more than conquer those teams. You know, I'm like, man, you got to play some better teams. At least OU played UCLA, which was supposed to be a good team, but they weren't that good this last weekend or whatever. So, and unlike a lot of OSU fans, I do pull for OU too. So, I mean, I'm not, except for when they play each other, then I'm divided. Really, this is Craig's philosophy, and it's really hard. I want the team to win that has the best chance of going to win the national championship. That's who I really want to win because I want to see the Big 12 win. But you know, there's conquering and there's more than conquering. Now, what's interesting part about it is, think about it, back in this game of life, the scripture says we're not just winners, we're more than winners. Amen. Now, I understand it's hard to think like you're more than a winner when it feels like you're losing. And we've all felt that in life, that we're losing. But we have to have the mentality, and some people are going to think we're crazy, you know, because we're going to have, you know, what I call the Charlie Sheen mentality. I'm winning. You know, and you're going to have people you work with laugh at you when you tell them you're winning because they know your situations. You know, now hopefully people at church don't laugh at you because hopefully that they know your same God. Oh, hopefully. I'm saying hopefully because I've seen a lot of Christians wonder whether they're winning or not winning because they feel like they're losing. But we have to understand that we're winners through Christ Jesus. And it doesn't say we're going to win. It says we have already won. There's a difference between already won and going to win. Now, today, a number of teams, you know, got on the field to, you know, open the NFL season, you know, and hopefully they were going to win. But just because they won last year doesn't mean they're going to win this year. You know, and so, but we are different. We win. Amen. Every time. Right. Every time. And it's like, well, but I feel like I'm losing today. Well, number one, it's not about what you feel like. Faith isn't a feeling. Faith is a knowing. And my faith is in God. In God I trust. And my God's not a loser. My God cannot and will not lose. And Jesus has already defeated Satan. Amen. So because of that, I can be more than a conqueror. But it's my choice. I can act like I'm conquered, or I can be more than a conqueror. It depends on, you know, it really is my own mind. How do I think? Because if I think I'm defeated, I'll be defeated. I'll act defeated. But if I think I'm a winner, you know, it's kind of like said, you know, the I think I can, you know, the engine that could. Well, but you're the engine that did. But you're still acting like you could. It's not, it doesn't say that we could be more than conquerors. It says we are more than a conqueror. It says we are victorious. And there's a difference between are and will be or whatever. But so many times we act like that we might be, we could be, hopefully will be. You know, whatever will be. But it's not about that. It's about we win. We win. Now, sometimes it's hard to think like a winner whenever you're like, you know, you feel like you're down on the turf. And you're like, I don't know how this is going to work. But see, you know, sometimes that's the point where people really turn it over to God. When you physically, see, as long as you physically can fight, here's what happens. Most of us, you know, we're fighters. And we'll try to do everything in our power to make it work. You know, but the Bible says to give God our troubles and trials and tribulations, you know, and you know, give it to him and let him work it out. So put our trust in him. The Bible says only believe. What do we believe? We believe in him. We believe he can do it. Not that, and we shouldn't have to help him. You know, I shouldn't have to help God. I think God can figure it out himself. All right. Now, what's so awesome is that God wants to work on my problems. But I have to let him. He can't do anything unless we let him. I mean, you know, we didn't just automatically get saved whenever Jesus died upon the cross. We have not because we asked not. Ask what we will and shall be done. All we have to do is ask. Anyway, but it's interesting. It goes on here in Romans. It says, for I am persuaded, you know, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature, created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of our God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there's nothing that can keep us from winning. Because, see, we win in Christ. And if nothing can keep us away from Christ, then we win. All the time. So what's the mentality is, when you're going through life, you know, and sometimes in life that we start having a pity party for ourselves. So when you're laying there having a pity party, you need to remember, you know what? You're a winner. So quit acting like a loser. All right? Quit. Start acting differently. Act like who you are. You know, maybe sometimes whenever you're, you know, we're going through life, and especially as children, especially maybe as a teenager, you know, your parents get on to you and say, well, act like, you know, you're 16 years old, and, you know, instead of you're 12 or something like that. And so one time, you know, I have three boys, and so I told my youngest son, quit acting like a 10-year-old. And he goes, I am 10. I kind of forgot he was, you know, I mean, he was trying to give me an excuse. So I am 10 years old. I'm acting my age. But, you know, the thing about normally he didn't act like that. So, but he was, I should have picked a lower number. Now, here's what we need to get a hold of. Well, first of all, remember the verse that I quote quite a bit, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, see, the thing about it is, the devil is trying to wipe you out. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All right? But see, we also have the devil who is full of hot air. Now, the point is that the devil is going to try to talk you out of your blessings. And that's what he started out doing in Genesis with Adam and Eve. He started saying, well, why not eat from the tree? I see God doesn't want you to eat because he knows this is really good fruit and you're going to really like this stuff. He was trying to lie to them. You know, and that lie has created problems for all of us. You know, but see, the devil's still a liar. The devil never changes. The devil is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Going to continue to be the same. Going to continue to lie. So what does that mean? He's going to try to tell you in your head that you're not going to make it. That you're not going to win. That you're not victorious in Christ Jesus. That you're not going to triumph. You know, because that's his tactic. He tries to get into your head. Just like, you know, I say the devil's like a lot of athletes. They try to talk trash. They're trying to tell you that you're not good enough, that you won't catch the ball, that there's no way you're going to beat me, and blah, 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 blah. Boxers are really good about talking trash, I mean, to each other. You know, but it doesn't matter what they say beforehand. I mean, you know, sometimes you see these boxers and they're going at it. You know, then you get the real match, and it's usually lopsided. The guy who was talking usually gets knocked out. The guy who didn't say a whole lot, you know, just kind of sat there and took it. You know, because actions speak louder than words. So here's the deal: is the devil's all he has is words. He knows the action's already been taking place 2,000 years ago. He knew he knows the devil has already been defeated through Jesus Christ. He knows if we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, he has no right. And that's why we have to remember this scripture over in James chapter 4. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now I started thinking about this. You know, this happens many times for Christians. They do not resist the devil and he doesn't flee. Now, how do you resist the devil? You have to say, no more. You know, or the current language is, talk to the hand. You know, stop. Now, see, I guess, I don't know what it is, probably, and this is more, probably my dad than even my grandfather. And if you heard my dad's message this morning, he talked about where one time he was mad because of devil was trying to attack my sister. She had a fever and said he literally kicked the devil out of his house and was like kicking all the way down the stairs. He said he went out in the front yard and kept kicking. Now, so I imagine one of the neighbors opening the door at 3 o'clock in the morning and saying, what? Because he said he actually kicked him all the way front. We had a, there was a little, you know, sewer system thing, you know, a little drainage ditch in front of our. And he said he kicked him all the way down to the sewer. And so that means he kicked him. He was doing the kicking motion all through our front yard. And I'm thinking about this while he's preaching to him. Like, he probably looks like an idiot. But at that point in time, he was just sick and tired of the devil attack. Because, you know, if he can't attack you, he'll attack your kids. And I found out that, you know, more than once. I mean, you know, if he can't attack you, he'll attack your kids. He'll attack your family. He'll attack your wife, your husband, you know, whoever. But because, you know, he wants to attack. But the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Meaning that, you know, the devil's really a coward. Like I said, Greg was talking about, you know, puny God. You know, but a lot of times we get the mentality, you know, the devil's this big and God's, you know, smaller than the, but it's opposite. Our God is greater than anything the devil could ever do. You know, and it doesn't matter what he tries. Now, one of the biggest lies is the devil trying to tell us, you know what, God doesn't care. But we just read that there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. God does care and continues to love you regardless of whatever takes place. You know, or the devil Elijah said, well, God's trying to punish you. God doesn't punish me. Jesus took the punishment for me. So I was made righteous. Devil, I mean, you know, God doesn't punish me. Now, the problem is, devil, God's punished you, and you're trying to put it on me. Now, the deal is we have to, and so, like I said, I'm more like my dad. I talk to the devil all the time. You know, I think I'm a devil whisperer sometimes. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know how many times. I said, devil, I tell him, I said, you have no right. You have no authority. And in the name of Jesus, see, at that name, the demons will tremble. In the name of Jesus, you have to leave my, you know, my body. You have to leave my household. You have to leave my kids alone. You have to, you know, because he has no right. But he'll keep attacking as long as you don't resist him. Now, here's the thing. The devil's also persistent. Just because you resisted him today, he'll still come back tomorrow. And see if he can sneak back in. He'll come around the backside. You know, he'll come this way, that way. I mean, he's a sneaky guy. And he'll continue to be persistent. So what we have to do? We have to continue to resist him. Continue to resist him. Now, another scripture that we have, like I said, I'm trying to make sure you know these scriptures, is 1 John 4:4. I'll leave you know the scripture. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The greater one dwells on the inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So you know what? Because I have the greater one on the inside, the devil has no right. Now, see, if the devil has no right, you know, then I should act victorious. I should think victorious. You know, and I know a lot of times, I mean, you know, if someone's trying to sell you their magical pills, you know, and they'll call them victorious living or whatever. But we live victorious because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Who are we in Christ Jesus? Now, thinking about this, Romans 12:2 says it this way. It says, Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, now, you know, sometimes we think about, well, be not conformed to this world. We're thinking about, well, do not be a bad person. Do not do, you know, sin. Do not sin. But you know what? Being conformed to this world, you know, does contain that, but it also contains the way the world thinks. See, the world thinks that they're losers. That's normal mentality. Whenever you're down, when you have everything coming against you, the way the world thinks is, it's over. I can't make it. But that's not how God thinks. And so it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when we quit thinking like the world thinks and start thinking like Jesus thinks, then things change. See, you know, Jesus was the one who whipped the devil, so he already knows the devil has no right because I whipped you. And so that's when we have to understand that, you know, that we need to tell the devil, hey, devil, you have no right because my big brother Jesus already whipped you. He's already whipped you. And see, if we start transforming our mind and start thinking different, then we'll act different. If you think you're a winner, you'll act different than thinking you're a loser. Excuse me. Now, many people, you know, they start having a losing mentality before long. I mean, you know, people who get depressed, a lot of times, you know, it didn't start with just depression. It started with thoughts of, you know, excuse me, it started, you know, maybe you have some financial issues, maybe there's some other issues, and before long you start thinking about, man, I'm just a loser. You can't even get up in the morning time, because you're like, man, I just walk around lost. Well, see, that's what the devil wants. But what God wants is he wants you to transform your mind and think like Jesus, have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. Now, you know, Paul talks about renewing your mind daily. See, you know, here's the thing is a lot of times, you know, we get our mind, and a lot of times too, we come to a service like this and, oh yeah, that's how I need to think. You know, and for a couple of days, you might think like you should think, and then something hits you across the face. You know, you have a, you know, your transmission goes out in your car and you have to have a car to get to work, and, you know, transmissions are not cheap. You know, when you find out that, you know, you don't, it's not covered under warranty. And then you're like, man, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't have the money. And I understand you might not have the money. But do you not think that God cares about you enough to help you get a new transmission or a new car or whatever? I mean, I always used to like to price. My grandmother, my mom's mom, loved The Price is Right. And so a lot of times whenever she would ever be either down in Dallas or she'd come over, she always had The Price is Right. And like all summer long, if I was over there, The Price is Right, you know. And I always like it whenever they say, a new car, you know. You know, and sometimes that's what you need. You need a new car because your old ones keep getting broke. But see, when you have a broke mentality, then it seems like you know, you're already broke and now your car's broke. But you know what? You have to have the new car mentality. You know, you have to have the new, you have to have a new mentality. You know what? I'm going to make it. It doesn't matter. If something happens and I foreclose on this house, you know what? God is going to take care of me. And that's the thing. You know, I think that's the one incredible thing that, you know, I'm shocked that it happened. But, you know, when we got the motto, in God we trust on our money, it's interesting that, you know, the country was saying, you know what? Don't trust in the government, trust in God. Amen. And that's what my mentality, you know what? You know, the economy is doing pretty good now. Amen. Praise God. You know, I attribute it to our president. You know, some people don't. What I don't care what it is. Our economy is doing great. That's awesome. But you know what? It shouldn't matter what the economy is doing because you know what? God can bless you regardless of everybody else not being blessed. Going back to Old Testament, you know, 1,000 may fall at your right side, and, you know, 10,000 to your left or whatever, but nothing's going to come near you. I know my dad talked about back whenever in the 70s, he was he kept ministering and doing a lot of ministry in Africa, and he went to Kenya in 76 and then 78, so like a two-year period of time. Well, they went through a drought during that two-year period of time, and I think it was his interpreter, he had some farms. He had some crops and stuff like that. And so he was there in 76, came back in 78, and they went over to the interpreter's house, and he goes, you notice anything different? And my dad's looking around, and he's like, the guy says, I got a tin roof now, before he had, you know, had a thatch roof or whatever. And he says, here's why. He says, we've been having a drought. And for whatever reason, it wasn't raining anywhere except for on my crops. I mean, the people were amazed. But, you know, and he said, because of that, you know, I mean, you know, my crops were worth more money. And I was able to have my biggest, I mean, last 2 years have been my biggest harvest ever. But they were in the middle of a drought. But see, it didn't matter. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what things, what you feel like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is, what did Jesus do? WWJD, what did Jesus do for you? He's caused you to triumph. He caused you to be victorious in Christ Jesus. You know, and we just have to think differently. We think differently. I'm going to leave you off with one more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Says this, 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, sometimes it's going to look like it's bad. Remember, those are just a temporary situation. And, you know, I don't know how many times they've gone through some things and, you know what, this is just temporary. We're getting to the other side. We're moving forward. We're moving on. We're moving on up, higher than the Jeffersons. I always say, I mean, I don't know. I used to like to watch that show, The Jeffersons. Anyone watch The Jeffersons and remember that moving on up? You know, we're not just moving to the east side, you know, to a deluxe apartment in the sky, but you know, we're moving up. Amen. Why? You know, see, we have the moving up mentality. That we're on the way up. You know, sometimes we're in situations where we're so low, the whole place to go is up. You know, there's been times, you know, I guess I'm the guy who just like, you know what? What else can we do but go up? I know if some of you know my grandfather's story, when they got married, he said he had two nickels in his pocket. And says that time candy bars were a nickel. So he said they bought two candy bars. And so they started their marriage with nothing. Knowing the only way you can go is up. You know? And so, you know, and the deal is, I mean, you know, I love the way he looked at life. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it says, what, you know, what this says. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I'm winning. You know, I've already won. So if I already won, I'm winning. When the scoreboard doesn't look like so, I'm winning. When people think I'm crazy, I'm winning. You know, and I know, like I said, people thought Charlie Sheen was crazy, and he was going through some issues, all right? You know, but the deal is, that's how we should act. And all the time. You know, and if we act like that, you know, more, you know, maybe we get as many fights on Facebook as, you know, people, because, you know, I'm winning. I'm a winner. The Bible says I'm a winner. It says I'm victor. It says I'm more than conqueror. Because of what Jesus has already done for me. Now, some people always think, well, I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get blessed. I'm going. But no, you're not going to get anything. You already have it. Amen. It already belongs to you. All you have to do is take it. How do you take it? You just ask. You know, I mean, all you have to do is, you know, you think about it, if your father was the richest person in town, the richest person in the city, the richest person in the world, you know, you might not have a dime, but he had everything. If he has everything, all you got to do is, hey, Dad, can I have this? Can I have that? You know, and I tell you, when, you know, if your father is, you know, worth billions of dollars, for ask your father for $1,000 and nothing. You understand that your heavenly father is worth more than billions of dollars. Yeah, in every aspect. So it doesn't matter. I mean, all you got to do is say, hey, Dad, I need this. And he's never going to say no. I mean, okay, here. Okay, here. Okay. I mean, you know, we have an okay God. Amen. Better than okay. I mean, you know, he's God that's more than enough. I mean, there never should be a situation where you're worried about, because you know what? I got God on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? I don't care that there's a puny God against me. It doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. I mean, you know, the Bible already tells us he's a thief. He tries to come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. The New Living says, it says his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. His purpose in life. The devil will always try. Well, all I got to do is resist them. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here. But Father God, we thank you that not only that they'll remember this today, but they'll remember this message the next time they're going through issues in life. Help us understand that we are victorious. We've been made more than a conqueror. Help us understand it doesn't matter what things look like. It doesn't matter what things feel like. What matters is what we know the Word of God says. And Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for just helping them through every situation in their life. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that before we leave this place, we thank you they'll come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I've never been saved. I don't have the greater one on the inside of me, and I want to tonight. Lift your hand, we want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, at one time I was in Father's house, but I kind of walked away. I turned my back on God. But tonight, I want to come back home and publicly rededicate my life. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, or you want to rededicate your life tonight, lift your hand. I don't see hands. Father God, we thank you. If anyone is here tonight that's not saved, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, for helping them come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's all stand up. Does anyone here need healing before we go? If you need healing in your body, just come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. I always want to give you that call. I know the Lord's, you know, told me to make sure that I give opportunity for people to get healed. Anyone need healing? Amen. Praise God. We're all healed. Amen. Don't forget a couple of things. I mean, like I said, you know, Dad's birthday was last week, and there's a card out there you can sign. Also, Kindle the Flames coming up, and you can go find out more information. You know, you ladies, not guys, ladies, about that. Amen? Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here is I'll be back at that door to shake your hand. And I can always say, if you don't shake my hand, there's a door over there. You can go out. Actually, you can go out that door if you really want to. Amen. God bless you guys. It's been good to be back with you. And have a wonderful week.